This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
وعليه وسلم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما رب العالمين. Last night we talked the last chapter in a book of الرقاق, كتاب الرقاق. The last chapter was about ذهاب الصالحين, the death of the righteous. And now we move to a new chapter. And this chapter's title is Babu Ma Yuttaqa Min Fitnati Al-Mali Wa Qawli Allahi Ta'ala Innama Amwalukum Wa Awladukum Fitna. Al-Bukhari rahimahullah put a title to the chapter Ma Yuttaqa Min Fitnati Al-Mal. What should be avoided from the fitna of mal. And the saying of Allah also, he's reinforcing what he is saying, that money is fitna, mal and wealth is fitna. He's reinforcing it by the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةً. Indeed, your wealth, your money, and your children are but fitna. So, the ayah is significant. The ayah tells us, and this is Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala, who knows the reality of everything. He says, إِنَّمَا, there's nothing, that it is nothing but, they call it adatu hasr. It's nothing but. So your wealth, your money, and your children are nothing but a fitna. Now, what is the meaning of a fitna? It is a test. It is something that tempts you, attracts you, pulls you away from Allah Azza wa Jal, or it has the potential to. It has the potential to. So something that is a fitna could be something that is evil, entirely evil. Or something that is a fitna could be something that has the potential to become evil or not. You understand me, right? So it has the potential, but it may not, or it could be entirely evil. In this case, what is it? So we understand, because Allah Azza wa Jal subhanahu wa ta'ala, in order to understand what He's saying, you have to reconcile all the ayahs, bring them all together, bring all the ahadith together to understand. So do you understand from this ayah that Allah Azza wa Jal is telling you not to have children? No. Because we know that there are ayat and there are ahadith that recommend having children. So if having children is recommended, how are they a fitna? So we understand then that they're not evil. Children are not evil. A time of a fitna that is evil. But has the potential to become evil. How? What do they do? What they do is that because you love them so much, you may disobey Allah because of them, because of the love that you have for them. So you earn haram to feed them, or to secure their future, or because they want things that you cannot afford, or you feel so bad for them. I mean, have you loved someone so much that when they ask you for something and you know it's wrong for them, you still give it to them? Right? You know, when your son comes and tells you, I want a video game, I want to play games online. And you just can't bear the fact that he looks so sad. So he says, okay. Because you only want to see him happy. So you give him what you think will make them happy. Though, this is not good for them. So that's a type of fitna where you will disobey Allah and do what is not in their best interest because your love for them. So if you allow your child, they can tempt you and take you away from Allah Azza wa Jal. Or your child can be the greatest asset. Don't you see that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam wa ala nabiyyina salatu wa salam, that he asked Allah for children? He wasn't asking Allah for something evil. And Zakariya asked Allah for Yahya alayhi salam. And they became the greatest asset after their death, because they are prophets of Allah. So it depends on what you do with your child. They could be someone that they take you away from Allah and into hellfire indeed. or that they take you to Jannah, and they are the people who, when you leave this earth, the only ones who remember you and make dua for you. So which ones are they going to be? It depends on how you raise them. So fitna here is a test, and so is money. So do we say that money is evil in itself? He says no. Is money then good in itself? We say no, it's a fitna. So it depends on what you do with it. So if you take it and you please Allah with it, and you use it for your needs, and you support and suffice your family and your parents, and you give the poor, and you initiate good projects, and you spend it on people who love Allah Azza wa Jal, seekers of knowledge, dua, curing the sick, then this is the greatest aid for you and for your iman. But if you take it and it ruins your life, you're only worried about it, as we will see right now, then it will destroy your life. So what you're doing with that money determines whether it is a fitna for you or not. Right? So the first hadith, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ta'isa abdu al-dinari wa al-dirhami wa al-qatifati wa al-khamisa in u'tiya radi wa in lam yu'ta lam yarda. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, misery to the slave of a dinar and a dirham, and qatifa, this is a type of clothing, we'll explain, and khamisa, another type of clothing, fabric, in u'tiya radi, if he's given, he is happy and pleased, and if he is denied, he is displeased and unhappy. So the Prophet ﷺ begins this hadith by saying ta'isa, misery, and that is a dua, misery to him. The one who fulfills these conditions, misery to him, meaning he will be miserable. He will be miserable. He will perish if this is how he lives. Who is he? Abdu dinari wa dirham. Dinar is gold, is a coin made of gold. Dirham is a coin made of silver. So you can translate it as the slave of gold and silver, or you can translate it the slave of the dollar. It's the same thing, because you use these metals to buy. Currency is used to buy something. So you can translate it even as the slave of the dollar. Al-qatifa wal-khamisa. Qatifa is a type of fabric that is thick that they use to sit on. And al-khamisa is a type of fabric that they use to put on. To wear, and it is square, and they say it has a'lam, it has lines. This is what al-khamisa is, and it's mentioned in other ahadith. The slave of dinar and dirham, and fabric. Fabric today could be fashion, right? How are you a slave of fabric? Meaning the slave of that fabric that you furnish your house with and you sit on. So a slave of possessions, a slave of fancy things, a slave of the exquisite luxury. How are you a slave to all of these things? Do you pray to them? No one prays to dinar and dirham. No one thinks that they are gods. No one makes dua to them. So that's not that type of ubudiyyah and shirk in it. But it's a type where you are so attached to it that that's the only thing that you think about. It possesses you. You don't possess it. It possesses you. And it has a portion of your heart. So it has a portion of the love that you're supposed to give to Allah Azza wa Jal. Gold and silver has that, not Allah. So you worry about it. In the morning, you're thinking about how can I get more. At night, you're thinking about how can I get more. When you're sleeping, you're dreaming of all of these things. So your concerns are what? I need money and more of it. I need money and more of it. And you're thinking about cars and fashion and clothes and shoes and sneakers and the latest thing and the latest phone and the latest iPhone and the latest, it's constant consumption. That's what you're thinking about, and you want more of it and more of it and more of it. And you're worried about it and you love it. Not just love it, you're in love with it. That's the only thing you talk about. So that type of ubudiyya is a small type of shirk in your heart. Because you are supposed to give that love to Allah Azza wa Jal, but you give it to the dunya. And you're supposed to give that attention, that type of intense attention to Allah, but you give it to the dunya. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to love new things. But you love them in what? In moderation. Right? You're not fascinated and obsessed and only worried about that thing. And the rest of the hadith explains it. In u'tiya radi, if you're giving these things, you're happy. Wa in lum yu'ta, if you're denied, you're miserable. So where is your happiness? Whether, you know, I scored the big deal today, whether I got the deal today, whether I got a lot of money today, whether I bought something. Your happiness is if you have. And your misery is if you lose. And again, I'm not talking about the fact of your average natural happiness. Oh, alhamdulillah, I got a raise today. Won't you be happy? Yeah. Oh, I've lost some money today. Won't you be sad? Yeah. But if all of your happiness is about money, and if all of your sadness is about money, and if you're happy with Allah only when He gives you money and fame and recognition, and you are angry with Allah when He takes money away from you, then who are you a slave of? You're a slave of the money that you receive. And then you are happy with Allah with when He gives you. Unhappy with Allah when He doesn't give you. So you're not really happy with Allah Himself. You're happy with the money. Right? That is, if you only love me when I give you money, do you love me or do you love the money? Is that clear? If you only love me when I give you money, are you in love with me or with the money that I give you? It's with the money. And that's why if I stop giving it to you, you stop loving me. That's why there's a loyalty to the king. They said there's someone who serves a king. If you understand why, it becomes a form of hidden shirk. Hidden shirk. We're not saying the type of shirk that is in rububiyya or uluhiyya. No, it's a shirk in love. An attachment and dependence. There's someone who, like mercenaries, who will serve the king. As long as the king buys them, gives them money. If he stops giving them money, do they serve the king? They find another king, another rich guy to serve, right? Another job. And there are those who serve the king, like a king on this earth, serve a king because they like him. So whether he gives or not, they like him and they believe in him, so they serve him. So the first are not loyal to the king. The second are the loyal ones. So Abdul Dinari wa Abdul Dirham is a slave to the money that he receives and how big his house is and how fast his car is. And that's the only thing that he wants in life. And if he gets it, he's happy with Allah or with his life. And if not, he's miserable. And that tells you that you should locate your happiness somewhere else other than money. Yes, you'll be sad. I lost $1,000, $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 today. But if someone reminds you, you say, you know what? Just say, Subhanallah walhamdulillah wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. From your heart, just say this. And if you say it, you say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that these things, when you say them, are better than everything on the face of this earth. If you lost 10,000, by saying these things, now you've gained more than those 10,000. Won't you feel better? If you have iman, you'll feel better. So your happiness is not about how much money I got. Or if you compare yourself to somebody else who has more, and you know, I can't compete with this person who has just bought a car that costs more than this and that. No way I can live that lifestyle. And you feel bad about it. Say these words and similar words and feel that Allah Azza wa Jal had favored you by remembering Him and had given you something that the Prophet ﷺ had said, خَيْرٌ مِمَّا طَلَعَتْ عَلَيْهِ الشَّمْسِ, better than what the earth, the sun had risen on. All this earth. because it stays with you in the Akhirah. The second hadith is where the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لو كان لابن آدم واديان من مال لابتغى ثالثة. If the child of Adam had two valleys filled with money, he would want a third. ولا يملأ جوف ابن آدم إلا التراب. And nothing fills the inside of the child of Adam except sand. ويتوب الله على من تاب. And Allah accepts the repentance of the one who repents. So this is a characteristic, a feature in every single human being, as a human being. Don't think that you stand as the exception. Tamam? So that we don't deceive ourselves and say, no, I am different. No. This is a feature in every human being except those who change it, as the last of the hadith indicates. So he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you had two valleys filled with money, valleys, big valleys, filled with gold and silver, would that be enough for us? No, we have that greed and we want to have more and more and more. And it will never stop. It will never stop. So if you say, I'm going to have a million, and then when I have that million, I'll be happy. When you reach the level of the millionaires, you'll keep looking up. And you say, but there are billionaires. Why am I not a billionaire like them? So you'll be unhappy with what you have, even though you have a lot. So you want the next, and the next, and the next. And every time you get that thing that you think, that thing will make me happy, once you get it, you discover that my happiness is not there. And I need something else, new and faster and bigger, and shinier than the thing that I have. So the Prophet ﷺ tells you about something important about your greed for life and money. It never ends and you will always want more because it doesn't satisfy you. And if it does not have the substance to satisfy you, it means that it's not designed to satisfy you. Have you ate maybe once the type of food that you eat it and it doesn't fill you, and you eat and it doesn't fill you, and it you eat and it doesn't fill you? Why doesn't it fill you? It's not nutritious. It's not designed to nourish you. It's just a snack or something light, but you keep eating and it doesn't satisfy. And there's another type of food, you eat a little bit of it and you feel fulfilled. Because that is for you, not the other one. So you keep feeding yourself the dunya, thinking, I'll be happy, just when I get this, just when I get that degree. And by the way, when I'm saying these things, I'm not saying that we should be against that. You can get an education, and you can indeed be rich if you want. But the thing here is, why you're doing all of that? Is it for Allah Azza wa Jal or for the sake of the dunya? If you're doing it for the sake of the dunya, think again, your happiness is not going to be located there. If you're doing these worldly things for the sake of Allah, then they will be an aid and a help for you. So why are you doing it? And if you're running, panting after the dunya, this world, it will never satisfy you. It will never. So I want to buy, you'll keep buying for the rest of your life. And he says, what it will always only fulfill or fill the inside of the child of Adam? The Prophet ﷺ said, sand, meaning till death. You're kind of like moving from the figurative to the literal, and the literal to the figurative. Because here when you're alive, what fills you? Nothing. What fills your eyes? Nothing. You always want more and more. So the Prophet ﷺ moves it from the figurative to the literal by saying, what fills you? Sand. Meaning when you die. Right? When you're buried, sand will fill you. And that's the only thing that satisfies you, in a sense that you'll never be satisfied until death, if you don't curb that. And we said it's a feature, and it's intense, and it's always there. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ says in the end, وَيَتُوبُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَنْ تَابَ. And Allah will accept the repentance, will bring in. This is tawbah, will bring in the one who comes back. Meaning that all of us have it, but you have the chance to overcome it, repent from it, reform yourself, and change that feature, and say, I'm not going to run after the dunya. I'm not going to run after the dunya. I'll run after the akhirah. And you can succeed in the dunya. You can have your own business. You can employ a lot of people. But you still be humble. And you still be modest. And in your heart you believe that none of these things last. My degree, my name that I made for myself, the house that I bought. Right? When you buy, you be humble also. You don't live in excess. You don't live in luxury. Because you know it corrupts you. If this is enough for you, if a modest house, modest clothing, modest car are enough for you, you don't need more. So you don't purchase more. Because you know the more corrupts. So you stay away from it so that you can stay grounded. You can stay be close to Allah Azza wa Jal, and it does not tempt you. And you don't tempt yourself. It doesn't mean that I can buy, $1 million house where I don't need it. But a million today doesn't mean anything. But at one point it used to mean something. Let's say a $10 million house. It doesn't mean that if I have that much money, I can buy a $10 million house that I would go and buy it just because I can afford it. And I don't need it. Be humble. Say, if the only thing that I need is, I don't know, what a house would cost today, $500,000, let's say. And that is enough for me, that's enough. But just to keep yourself close to Allah Azza wa Jal, because Allah will ask you, where did you get that money from and how did you spend it? And you can't say, even if you get it from halal, I wasted it. No, you will be questioned about it. There are other narrations of the hadith. There is no reason, you know, to cover them because they basically say the same thing, right? And they say, you know, one of the beautiful sayings about the dunya, they say it is like drinking salt water or seawater. The more that you drink, the more thirsty you are, right? The more that you drink, the more thirsty you are. So there is no way that you can say to yourself, if I only have that extra from the dunya, then that is the thing that will satisfy me. There's nothing that satisfies from the dunya. Nothing at all. Right? And Ubay ibn Ka'b radiyallahu anhu qala, kunna nara hadha min al-Qur'an. That hadith that I mentioned, he says, we used to think or we used to believe that it was part of the Qur'an حَتَّى نَزَلَتْ أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ until أَلْهَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ was revealed. So some of the Sahaba were under the impression that that hadith could have been part of the Qur'an. Right? And that's a discussion for another time. It's not needed. But if what I need what from that particular narration is that he said حَتَّى نَزَلَتْ until the ayah of Al-Hakum al-Takathur was revealed. Because Al-Hakum al-Takathur summarizes or sums up what that hadith had said and even more. So Al-Hakum al-Takathur says what that hadith was saying. You are distracted by al-Takathur, competition of who has more. So it says that exactly. That you will always be in competition with other people. And you always would want to have more than what they have. Whatever it is that you're in competition with. It could be the number of children. It could be how well educated they are. Or your title. Or your profession. Or your house. Or your car. You're always in competition with other people. And the more that you compete, the more it distracts you. And the more that it distracts you. And takes you away from Allah Azza wa Jal. And it's a never-ending competition. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ until you visit the graves. This exactly says what that hadith is saying. So, if you don't want التكاثر, rivalry and competition in the world to distract you, don't compete in the dunya. Compete in the akhirah. And again, understand from this, it does not prevent you from being successful in the dunya, but you're not doing it in competition. Right? If you want to be successful in the dunya, be, but not in competition with its people. You can have a big tech company. Why not? You can do that, inshallah. But as long as that does not distract you from your salah, as long as you perform your zakah, as long as you're just with those that whom you employ, and as long as you're doing it, not so because you want to be better than so-and-so, and get so-and-so out of the market, so you're doing it because you want to do something useful with your life and make it for Allah Azza wa Jal, that is good. That's a good, noble goal to have. But not if it's done out of rivalry and competition. The next chapter, inshallah, maybe, and that will be it, inshallah, for tonight. Babu qawli nabiyyi hadha al-malu khadiratun hulwa. This is the chapter of the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this money is green and sweet. And we explained that before. Green meaning beautiful, and sweet meaning tastes nice. So it's very attractive to the eye and very attractive to possession. So meaning that this money is beautiful and it's intensely beautiful. And don't think that, oh no, I'll be the one who escapes the temptation of money. Stronger men before you fell victim to it. You're not immune. Money is beautiful. And it's intensely beautiful. And if you let yourself be lured by it, it will destroy you. So you have to be very careful. And that's why you will find the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Tabi'een and so on, they were very careful about how much money they got. And even if they had money, they would always keep a filter, a buffer between them and that money. They have the money, but they're living humble and modest. And they don't give themselves everything that they desire. No, they keep a buffer between it. And if somebody needs it, they would give that money away so that they have, but it doesn't possess them and they don't rely on it. And says, وَقَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, this is also included in the title of that chapter, the saying of Allah Azza wa Jal, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. The love of desires and temptations had been made beautiful to people. Of, and then Allah Azza wa Jal lists them. But before we go there, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, it was made beautiful. Who made it beautiful? So these desires, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, of women and children and piles of gold and silver and beautiful horses and livestock and crops and farmland. And all this is the beauty or the enjoyment of this life. Who made them beautiful? To say Allah Azza wa Jal made them beautiful. Say Zuyina, okay, you know, the one who did that tazyin is not mentioned. Who made it beautiful is not mentioned. So they say it could refer to Allah Azza wa Jal in one sense, and it could refer to the shaitan in another sense. It refers to Allah in what sense? Because Allah is the one who made it, right? Allah is the one who made it beautiful. So who made women beautiful to men? Allah Azza wa Jal, right? Who made children beautiful and put in your heart the desire to have them? Allah Azza wa Jal. Who made these horses and cattle and livestock so beautiful? Crops, the green. Who made all that beautiful? Allah Azza wa Jal. So He put this zina on this earth. This beauty on this earth. Allah put that zina. And that is a ni'mah, but is also what? A test, as taught, which we said about children, right? It's a test. When you have piles and piles of money, so much money that you can do whatever you want with it. Can you imagine with me for a second that you have so much money? There are people on this earth who have that. So much money that you can almost do whatever you want. You want to tell me that that does not tempt you? That you can buy whatever and go whatever? And you know, be part of whatever group you want to be part of. Exclusive, VIP group. You can be part of that group and feel important. And that is not going to be tempting. So in one sense, right, in one sense, Allah Azza wa Jal made that zina, beautified it. In another sense, the shaitan did it by what? By making it more attractive than it really is. That especially the haram. But making it much more attractive than it really is. Oh, just do this. Just drink that. Just smoke this. Just go to this place. It is so beautiful. So there is that tazyin, that this beautification, that just to pull you in. But in reality, it is really not that good. It's not really that interesting. It's not that tempting. But the shaitan, right? Just like a beautiful advertisement. Do you think really, like, if you drink beer or Coke or Pepsi, you're going to be that happy as the people in the commercial are? You're going to have a lot of friends just they like they do, right? If you buy an iPhone, right, and you see, you know, they take these images with iPhone and people are dancing and they're making movies, do you use your iPhone like that? Or if you like someone like me, half of the features in my phone I never use and I don't know even about. But when I see that commercial, I think that, wow, I could shoot something like this and I can zoom like that and I can... So you imagine. But it's just a commercial. Like all of this haram is a one big commercial for something that when you go there, you discover, wow, this is a letdown. It wasn't really as fascinating as you told me it is. But we fall for it because the shaitan is very crafty and making the haram really beautiful. And once you get that, oh, you'll be so insanely happy. It is not that. And you discover the pain when you actually disobey Allah Azza wa Jal and the shame of it and the regret that I've done this. So there is this zina and it is there all the time. And it is part of the ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal, because if you use it well, it brings you happiness. You feel better. And it's just something beautiful to look at. But at the same time, if you use it in the haram, it turns out to be a curse in the sense of something that destroys you. And he brings here after that the saying of Umar radiyallahu anhu. He said, Allahumma inna la nastati'u illa an nafraha bima zayyantahu lana. He says, Ya Allah, we have no power except to be happy with what you have made beautiful to us. Allahumma inni as'aluka an unfiqahu fi haqqih. Ya Allah, I ask you that I would spend it rightfully. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he says, we have no power, Ya Allah, that if you made this beautiful, that when we get it, we will be happy when we receive it and when we see it. We have no power but to. That's the only feeling we have. But I ask you, Ya Allah, that when I have it, I do the right thing with it. So not telling you don't get married, not telling you not to have children, not telling you not to get a job, not to have money in your house and in your hand. But then when you have it, what do you do with all of that? It is, if you spend it rightfully, you deal with it as Allah wants, then you are safe from that fitna. And then you enjoy the blessings of having something that Allah had made beautiful to you. That is the beauty of it. That is really real na'im. Real joy is you have something that Allah had made beautiful and it turns out it is helping you to reach Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the most beautiful thing that you can have in this dunya. A beautiful, obedient wife, obedient, beautiful children, money that you use to come close to Allah Azza wa Jal, land that you till and you utilize and it brings you to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the greatest thing that you can have. And there's a story here in the background of why Umar radiallahu anhu said this. Because when Umar, and he was a khalifa, they brought him the money of Kisra, the jewelry of Kisra, and they brought it in a big pile. And Umar radiallahu anhu asked, cover it up. And so they covered it all up. And then when Umar came and they said, uncover, and he uncovered it, and they uncovered it, and others also were looking at all these jewelry and, you know, bracelets and rings that had come from Persia. Such, you know, subhanAllah, opulence. And Umar radiallahu anhu started crying when he saw this. And they said, oh, yani, ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, why are you crying? This is something that Allah had given us out of the hands of those who disbelieved in Him. He says, I'm crying because when usually, typically, people receive these things, meaning this type of wealth, they start fighting among each other for it. And transgressing the sharia of Allah, halal and haram, because of that money. That's why I'm crying. Because he understands the corruption of wealth. He says, we are fine. But when we become rich, what happens to us? We start fighting over money. Huh? Brothers and sisters, blood brothers and sisters, they fight over money. What do you think, regular people, what will they do? So he cried, radiallahu anhu, and then he spent it, and then he said this. And we are happy to see this, but ya Allah, make it so that I spend it rightfully. And he said he spent all of it. And he gave it all away to Muslims. He didn't keep anything. So the hadith, the only hadith here in, and it's really a beautiful hadith, and I think it's a beautiful hadith. So listen to it carefully. Hakim ibn Hizam, he said, سَأَلْتُ النَّبِيَّ فَأَعْطَانِي. He says, I asked the Prophet ﷺ and he gave me. I mean, I asked him for what? Money. I asked him for money and he gave me. ثُمَّ سَأَلْتُهُ فَأَعْطَانِي. Then I asked him and he gave me. ثُمَّ سَأَلْتُهُ فَأَعْطَانِي. And I asked him and he gave me. Meaning three times I asked him for money. And he gave me and he gave me and he gave me. He didn't say no. As long as the Prophet had, he gave. Right? Just appreciate that, because not most of us can't do this. ثُمَّ قَالْ هَذَا الْمَالِ. Or he told, يَا حَكِيم. Now the instruction comes. Now the gem is going to come, inshallah. Listen to it. يَا حَكِيم. This money is خَضِرَةٌ حُلْوَة. Is green and sweet, meaning it's beautiful. It's intensely beautiful. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِطِيبِ نَفْسٍ بُورِكَ لَهُ فِيهِ. If you take it without looking forward to it, without greed, okay? If you just take it without that greed, بُورِكَ لَهُ فِيهِ, it will be blessed. وَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِإِشْرَافِ نَفْسٍ. And if you take it with greed while looking forward to it, there will be no barakah in it. وَكَانَ كَالَّذِي يَأْكُلُ وَلَا يَشْبَعَ. And he will be like the one who eats but is never full. وَلْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا. And the upper hand is better than the lower hand. That's beautiful. This tells you about your attitude about money. So Hakim here, right? And Hakim, and it doesn't say it here, after this, Hakim never asked for money. Never asked for it. And even for when it comes to Abu Bakr, he never asked for money after. So just think, subhanAllah, just this statement, if you want to understand how the Prophet ﷺ was amazing as a prophet and amazing as a teacher, you can just say this to someone and it changes their life. Today, for instance, you hear speeches and you read books and they don't change you. But here, you hear that from the Prophet ﷺ and it changes your entire attitude. So he asked, and he said, Hakim, this money is beautiful and intense and attractive. So if you take it looking forward to it, there will be no barakah in it. Meaning that you're waiting here, you didn't ask. You didn't ask, but you're waiting for it, and you wish for it, and you have greed for it, and such a desire for it. And you grab it, and as you grab it, you grab something that you're hungry for. Right? So you grab it with hunger. So if you do that, he said, there will be no barakah in it. So your attitude matters, by the way, when you receive money, including your salary. طيب? So don't, I'm just waiting for my salary, and you just want to grab it. You should be better than that. Take it. It's just take it for something that you need to use. But your life doesn't depend on it. You're better than that and you're bigger than your salary. So not bi ishrafi nafs. You're not receiving it with greed and waiting for it. And you can hardly wait for it. No. Why? Because you want barakah. How is barakah? Bi ghayri ishrafi nafs. You're not looking forward to it. Yeah, it's coming, you understand, and you need it to pay your bills, but you're not waiting with greed. And when that happens, you're bigger than that money, then there will be barakah in it. So that is one of the ways to increase barakah in the wealth that you receive and the wealth that you have, is that you have no greed for it and no dependence on it. You understand what I mean, not dependence on it? That is, this is not my entire life. When will my salary come? I can hardly wait for it. And you're looking for it like a hungry person, you know, looking at food. He says, you are better than that. And then he tells him, وَالْيَدُ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى. The upper hand, the giving hand, is better than the receiving hand. That is, as long as you can, don't be the lower hand, the one who is asking, even when you are in need. If you can afford not to ask, don't ask. And be the one who gives, not the one who takes. At some point in our lives, all of us need help, right? It happens. And if you need help, ask. But as long as you can afford not to ask and be the helper, not the helpee, but the helper, then be the helper. As long as you can assist without asking people for assistance. At one point, you may need to. And if you need to, it's fine, inshallah. It's not haram. But as long as you can do without assistance, do without assistance. But be the person who assists other people. And it doesn't wait for anything in return. It's not like, I assisted you and now you owe me. Right? I loaned you money and now you owe me. If you want to do it for Allah, do it for Allah, and as they say, throw it to the sea. Meaning, forget about it. Do it for Allah, and that's it. Don't wait for anything else from that person. I assisted you, not because I want something from you. Innama, as they say, Allah says in the Quran, innama nut'imukum liwajhillah. We only feed you for Allah's face. La nuridu minkum. We don't want from you, jaza'an, wala shukura. We don't want from you to reward us or thank us. Right? So that's why it takes training. It takes patience, but it can happen. So one of the benefits, yani inshallah, in this hadith that I want you to just remember, don't look at money with greed and anticipation, including your salary, including the thing that is going to come. It will come. Take it and use it. But always feel that you are bigger than that money. And if it doesn't come from here, it will come from there. Allah Azza wa Jal is the provider. It's not the money itself that feeds you. Allah Azza wa Jal is the one that feeds you. So this is, inshallah, our discussion for today. Remember, inshallah, we will change the time of this halaqa, inshallah, to after Maghrib, starting next week, inshallah, because people thought it would be easier on them, inshallah. So if we have questions on topic, inshallah, let me know. So I'm just going to take a quick scan of the room. I don't see anybody. طيب خير إن شاء الله. جزاكم الله خيرا. We'll see you إن شاء الله next week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. الحمد لله رب العالمين.